We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go!
Let's go!
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go!
Let's go!
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
If I said, hey, your life depends on you successfully running a marathon in a year.
Oh, I could do it. Yeah, in a year.
If my life depended on it,
6 months.
Yes.
3 months?
I mean, most people run it, a few hours? I think I could do it in 6 months.
Great point, Beards. Great point.
Can I go home?
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Friday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We've got you for the next 4 hours. We will talk some Chiefs football today. Hey, hey, hey! 26 hours, less than 26 hours when the Chiefs kick off against the Chicago Bears in the Windy City. We will talk a lot about this Chiefs team. What we will be looking for tomorrow, what we expect to happen. I expect this team to go out and open up a can of whoop-ass on the Bears. That's what I expect. Anything less than that, this team is doomed. If you can't go out and win a preseason game against the Bears with your stud quarterback taking three snaps, I'll be damned if you're going to be able to win the AFC West. So we'll talk some Chiefs football today.
Your voice is incredible today.
My voice may not make it till 2. Turns out, bored last night. Did not enjoy myself last night. It was not a fun time at all. As you can tell from the voice, just sat like a wallflower.
Do you have all cigarettes night. For breakfast?
Yes. Smoke that cigarette. Puff that cigarette. Tell St. Peter in the pearly gates.
You
don't want to make him wait.
Are you hearing the Johnny Cash
you gotta
timbre?
Have another cigarette.
Can you give me something about a ring of fire real quick?
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Josh Briscoe, Curtis Seabolt here with you today in the zone.
That's right. 913-912-4810 to text in to be a part of the show. 913-912-4810. Check back in at 1 o'clock. We'll see if there's the voice of God or if it is just simply the voice of...
All right, Mick Schaefer and...
Mick!
Josh,
I had a good time last night.
Did you get kicked in the nards?
No.
Why?
No, I just blew a tire.
Yeah, no big deal. All right, so you can text in throughout the show if you want to. I'm not sure. We'll talk some Chiefs today. Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest. He will be our guest coming up at 11 o'clock. He was there last night, saw Matt Derrick, enjoyed our time there at the Midland Theater with the 100-year celebration. So we'll hang out with Matt Derrick again today. After hanging out with him last night as well. So we'll get his thoughts on what he wants to see from the Chiefs tomorrow. But also, you know, when we talked last week with Matt Derrick, he was getting ready to release his first Chiefs 53-man roster. And I want to go through a couple of notes from that, from what Matt Derrick decided to do with his roster and different choices that were made. So some interesting nuggets from his 53-man projection. So we'll do that coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Tons of other stuff to get into as well. Mick Schaefer will be hanging out with us today as well. We got the cuts before the show is over. We'll talk some Royals. We'll get into some early initial overreaction to some preseason games that have already played so far. One in particular about the Titans game last night that we will get into that I think does have a Chiefs connection. Sort of a 6 degrees of separation. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon connection. So we'll do that before the show is over as well. Again, 913-912-4810. Had a blast last night. It was a lot of fun at the 100-year celebration, and certainly thank you to all of the celebrities, the athletes, the sports icons that were there last night, and, you know, Kansas City sports history, and all of the people, the sponsors that helped out, that made it such a great night, and the event planners and what they've gone through the last couple of months as well. And it was just a really cool night to be a part of, because personally, you know, growing up and listening to 1510 and then 810, it's literally the only job I've ever wanted. Literally the only job I've ever wanted is to do a show on 810. It's why I went to school. It's not, oh, you want to be a sports broadcaster? Yeah, I'd like to do play-by-play. I'd like to do a talk, you know, show, be a host. Oh, really? Yeah. 4-8-10. Well, what about in like, no, 4-8-10. Well, what if you're not at 8-10? Then I'll choose something else to do. And to be a part of that in any way, shape, or form last night was really awesome. It was really cool. Hopefully those that came out were able to enjoy themselves and getting a chance to catch up with so many different people around the city, and so many different people that took part in it that didn't have to, be there, you know. And so that was pretty cool to see a lot of the people last night. I mean, Gary Pinkel and Bill Self and Ochai was there last night. I didn't go picture route with any of the celebrities or athletes.
I don't think I took a picture after the event started. I blacked out.
Yeah, if I were to ever take a picture with a Jayhawk, it would have been with Ochai. And that's really it, because, you know, we've talked about my fandom for him specifically, local kid, what he went through from, you know, not really being recruited to what felt like a charity scholarship. And, oh, this is cute. Bill Self is letting the local kid get a scholarship to KU. Isn't this nice? Oh, look at this cool little event here at his high school. Yay, Bill Self. What a nice guy. To then he's going to redshirt. To then consensus All-American, Big 12 Player of the Year, National Champion, lottery pick, multimillionaire in Ochai. And, you know, we've had Ochai on a number of times on the show throughout the years. And so the relationship we've built there was pretty awesome. And it's, you know, probably the only maybe Greg Gurley. Maybe. I'm not saying for sure. It's definite Ochai. Maybe Gurley. Not sure. And that's where it ends. That's where it ends, really. So it was cool to see, you know, a lot of people come out last night and take part in that. Vinny Pasquantino was there as well. That was pretty cool to see Vinny P, because you see somebody that's been in the big leagues for like a month, and then he is surrounded by these Kansas City sports icons and celebrities, and it's like, hey, Vinny, remember a, you know, month and a half ago when you were in Omaha and you were trying to make it to the big leagues? Now you're mashing. Oh, you hit another home run today, and you're here with all these sports celebrities in Kansas City. Get used to being a major league baseball player. Get used to being a professional athlete, because this is what it's going to be like for you. And it was an interesting look on, sort of an inside look maybe, of we've been talking about what the kids are doing with the Royals and how much fun they're having, and sort of like everything is so brand new and fresh, and they're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. And Michael Massey on Wednesday, you know, asked by Joel Goldberg, you know, against the White Sox, your childhood team, is this starting to become normal? He said, no, not at all. You know, not at all. Is this normal? And there was a little bit of that with Vinny Pasquantino last night, of just like, oh, I'm going to go get food over here. Oh, it's like, you know, in a couple of years, it'll be like, yeah, I showed up and hey guys, wave and cool. Appreciate you guys having me out here. But that was pretty neat just to see him like, this is really cool to be around some of these people. And so you got a glimpse of that freshness, that newness of being a major league player. What we all would have dreamed of and imagined. You see that sort of coming to fruition, that growing, that flower starting to bloom with Pasquantino, and what it's like to be a professional athlete. And hey, can you come over here? And hey, can you help out with this? Hey, we want to, you know, honor you with this. And, you know, you had a day game today, so you got a night off. We want you to come here on your night off. Yeah, let me do it. You know, that'd be awesome. So it was a blast last night, and I didn't know you were going to be working the event, Josh.
Yeah, so I mean, you said that you know, the only job you ever wanted was to be a host on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And that's right.
That's always been very, very high on my list, but I don't know that I can say that it's number one anymore, because whenever they finally give you a headset that makes you sound like a fighter pilot, but you get to keep your feet on the ground, there was something really enticing about being on a headset mic'd up last night. You know, getting all of the behind the headset tech. Rundowns. I knew everything about the microphones and the lights and the videos and when to cue people and all of that. So by the end of the night, I do think I might have at least found like maybe a secondary passion, you know, where I can be a multi-tool player. I can, you know, have a mic and host, or I can have a mic and know where people are supposed to be at any given time. And I, the only thing that I didn't get out of last night from that part of the experience that I was hoping for was a code name of some sort. I would have liked for, like, this is really on Jack Johnson and I. We really should have just started calling each other, like, I don't want to pick a current active, you know, Top Gun name, but something in that department, you know, Panda and Cookie Monster or something. I don't know.
I'm trying to find the Top Gun generator, the name.
Ooh, okay.
Generator.
I'll look for that.
So they had one when Maverick, okay, so let's see the, Top Gun.
Call sign generator.
Yep, here we go. So let's see what your call sign would have been.
I'm not sure if we're on the same one or not, so we can get a couple cracks at it, and then, you know, I can...
Ooh, Gorilla.
Wow, here I've got...
Lieutenant Joshua Gorilla Briscoe.
On here I have Lieutenant Joshua Idol Briscoe. I-D-O-L. That's confusing, though. Gorilla, you
Idol.
Know what that is. It could be...
Idol.
If it's I-D-L-E, that's a horrible thing for a fighter pilot to be.
Yeah. Get in there, Idol. I don't think you know my call sign.
I guess.
I'm probably not going to help you out on this one.
Yeah.
This guy's just sitting back just along for the ride, that's man. Just, put it into gear and let's go. That's
right.
Not what I do.
So
Lieutenant Joshua Gorilla Briscoe.
I can take Gorilla. Now, I do have Lieutenant Beards Vlad McFly. So, Vlad, that's you now.
I'll take it.
Vlad?
Go, Jason Anderson. Jason Broadway Anderson.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's, after last night, if that's not true, I mean, when is it going to be true?
Yes.
Star of stage and screen.
This one, I just did another call sign. Lieutenant Jason Rake Anderson, which is not what I did when I played baseball. I did not rake at all. That would be Lieutenant Jason couldn't pick up the baseball Anderson. Swing and miss Anderson. Thought it was going to hit me in the head. It curved in for a strike, and I said, I'm done playing.
This time we got...
I'm going to call it a career here.
We got Beards Black Hawk McFly. And again, you say some of these things too quickly, and you need something that is definitive. Vlad, Broadway, Gorilla.
Yep.
You don't have to rake. You have to really hit it right.
Yep.
Black Hawk.
That's
right. You really have to put that space in there, and I already forgot the other one that I got. It wasn't as good.
Idol.
Terrible.
It's awful. It's awful.
They got it right the first time each of these passes.
So I was surprised to see that you were working the event last night with the headset and going around and trying to, you know, keep things organized and keep people in the right place.
Look like Sean McVay.
Yeah. No, it was cool. And you didn't have to just scream and yell at everybody about how we're running behind. You didn't have to do that the entire time?
No. Here's the thing is what ultimately became my duty there was to have people in the right places in order / in time.
Yeah.
Which is different than on time. That was somebody else. I don't know how that was going to, you know, the clocks and everything. One rung above my head. Getting everybody where they needed to be, though, I think if we didn't bat 1,000, we got pretty darn near close. So I'm happy with the job that. Hold on. Let me get a call sign for Jack Johnson here really quick, because I feel like leaving him out would be bad.
While you're doing that, I just want to say that I am so proud of Chad Boger last night. I am so proud of Chad Boger. If people want to make fun of me for being a little long-winded, for turning what could be a 2 or 3 minute discussion into a 20-minute monologue, I just want to tell you, I come by it honestly, that last night on stage, Chad and I walk out together. Chad's going to give his speech about, you know, thanking everybody, the charities that, you know, were a big part of last night, those that, you know, put in so much work for last night to get that event off and running and to have it organized the way that it was. And we were running behind, and so... He was sort of was kind of guided in a way of, you know, maybe be a little bit quicker with the speech. And he's like, yeah, I'll go like 4 or 5 minutes and that's it. And so Chad is, you know, sitting there, he's getting ready to do a speech. And he's like, look, I'm going to be a little bit quick. I'm not going to be as long as Nate Bucati and his intro for Sporting KC and all that stuff. I've got a speech of like 4 or 5 minutes here. And I looked over his shoulder. I'm like, Chad, I can turn that into 20 minutes right now.
It was a good bit. It was a nice off the cuff Jason Anderson right. line. I was proud of you for swinging for it.
Right. And then Chad went 20 minutes. And it was a single tear down my eye that I'm like, look, or down my cheek. Look.
Your eye actually fell out.
My eye just popped right out. I'm like, I cannot believe this. You know, put his eye back in his socket. What is wrong? I'm like, this is, he was going to do 4 or 5 minutes and he just did 20 and they said break. And he just kept going. Like,
Beards, did you get secondhand anxiety? Were you like, we need to take a break?
Now people know why, you know, when I'm going a little bit longer here that it's like, man, do you have anybody advising you to take a break at all? No,
no,
not at all.
I will say it was very weird up there to see you off to the side not talking while Chad was up there for 20 minutes doing
that's
his
right,
thing.
That's right. Did you see me sort of slide to where I was
sure.
outside of the spotlight?
Oh, yeah,
sure
I
did.
I noticed.
Because
sure
I was standing
did.
Next to him in the spotlight and the speech kept going. So I slowly, like, I did the
Homer Simpson yep.
back into the bushes, sort of yep. sliding out of the spotlight.
Yeah, and you definitely didn't get far enough off stage for at least Renee to not see you, because I did get a message from her at some point. Something along the lines of, I just love Jason standing there in the shadows, just sort of brooding, sort of menacingly. If we didn't know you were back there, somebody would have been like, hey, who's that guy standing in the shadows?
What's that weirdo, man? Yeah, what is going on?
We don't have a lot of short-winded people here, I guess. Is the
Well, we do 4 hours a day. I mean, what?
Yeah, exactly. We got time to fill.
Yeah, we're not doing a small little sports cast.
Right, yes.
You know, we're not
right.
doing a sports center like you do. Hey, let's get all this information in 45 seconds.
We should have probably brought, you know, more TV, you know, TV's Mick Schaefer whenever he comes in this afternoon.
Mick Schaefer was there. Harold Kuntz was there. It was cool to see them.
Great to see them always. I think Mick got invited to my wedding by Renee. I mean, if she wants him there, that's fine. I just kind of keep trying to
that's
keep
cool. I'm probably busy.
Mick farther away from my family if I could.
Probably busy that night. So
yeah, I just
it.
Assumed
yeah.
that you no would be.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not going to be able to make it that night.
Oh, you know what? I'm really, that's too bad. I'll send you a link to the registry and you can
absolutely.
Go ahead and go through that. And everything.
What's the date?
I will
oh,
tell
man,
you.
Oh, man, I am busy. I am busy. That's a crazy weekend. I don't know that we're going to be able
that's
to make it.
That's tough. I know.
Yeah. Nope. That date, not going to be there.
Yeah. Well, I can, you know, no. Jason, maybe we can move mm-hmm. the wedding to a date you can yeah. make it to.
I'm glad you introduced me to Renee.
I was busy.
Mm-hmm.
I would have. At least
I got to meet Beard's lovely bride.
Yeah, I walked by you and your wife at one point and kind of waved. But again, uh-huh. the sort of Sean McVay / fighter pilot sort of situation
yeah, right.
did have me kind of 1 foot in the pool, 1 foot out of the pool.
Yeah.
Look, thanks for introducing me to your wife as well. Mm-hmm. That was we had a great chat.
Yeah.
And you know, one of these days, maybe we all have an event, you know, where
maybe our significant others will meet.
Let
our
partners meet.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Maybe they should just go hang out.
I am disappointed about Family Feud getting cut, because one of the surprise things was the Zone and the program were going to have a Family Feud and play the game. So and we weren't told what the categories were. Obviously, Nate Bucati was going to be hosting it as Steve Harvey, and he was going to play it up as in like he doesn't know anything about us. So it was going to be like, okay, hey, what do you do for a living, you know, and have some fun with that. And I think it was really going to actually be entertaining. And then I found out what the questions were. Did you know what the questions
no.
were?
No, I was going to say no, we do this on the show no still, idea. But now you know. Okay, so I'm happy to know.
The first question was, name a job that you don't have to be good looking to do.
Funny.
I would have immediately pressed the button and said, radio host of the program from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Man, that would have been funny, man. That would have killed.
Yeah.
That would have been really good.
Yeah. I know, right? I know. Because we were going up against the program. It wouldn't have just been Seren catching a random stray.
Right.
We
would have been two yes, feet from Seren yes. by delivering
because
that line.
Because on Wednesday, Seren said they were going to wipe the floor with us. So, which I don't know why he would do that, you know, win or lose. I don't know why you needed to wipe the floor. I mean, there's germs down there, you know.
It's
COVID times.
And also at one point, Steven did get slapped by Nate.
That was great.
The slap that Seren would have hit you with right there might have dropped you. I might have been here by myself this morning as you were getting your jaw rewired or something. And
last night when I couldn't talk, I was like, Briscoe might be there by himself tomorrow.
I've got about 15 more minutes of energy for you, Jason.
Yeah, well, I've got about five. I've got
15 minutes of energy, but 3.5 hours of voice, which you've got 3.5 hours of energy, about 15 minutes of voice.
That's exactly right. We'll
figure it out.
Energy that doesn't stop, but voice that does have to. I had a great time last night. Quick story. And Beards is like, really? Yeah, right.
Yes. Quick story.
Of course.
Let me get the stopwatch out here. Yeah.
Get the shot clock.
We got 4 hours,
Let's do a quick shot clock right now. So people joke about Brian Haney and I about, you know, us being twins.
I was about to say earlier in this segment that your voice dropping a little bit here just makes it sing.
He gets the three.
Actually,
Rock, chalk it up, Ochai.
Your impression of him is worse than it usually is. But your current speaking voice sounds more like him than it usually does.
It's just naturally
coming through. It was great to see the brothers reunited again.
He got to meet my wife. I got to meet, his lovely date that was there last night. And so we joked about being twins, right? And people say we sound alike. People say we look alike. And so this was at the beginning of the night that we joked, right? We're leaving, right? Everybody's getting ready to leave. And I see Brian Haney again. And he was like, Jason, I got to tell you this story, man. He goes, and he's pointing to his lovely date. And he's like, she was there too, okay? She was there too. We joke about being twins. He goes, 20 minutes ago, I'm standing there. Michael Garozzo walks up and goes, Jason, and I love your show. It is amazing. It is awesome. Love it. I got to get you into the restaurant. I got to get you into our spot. I love the show, man. And Brian was like, yeah, I'm actually Brian Haney. Voice of the Jayhawks.
Little KU, and he was lapel like, pin, yeah, didn't give it away.
He was like, if she wasn't there, you might think I'm lying.
Yeah.
He said, but she was there. And Michael Garozzo walked up and was like, Jason, I love the show. And I'm like, damn, Michael Garozzo. I wish I would have actually been the one that he talked to.
Yeah,
would have been great I've never met Michael Garozzo. It would have been nice to actually meet him.
That's still a victory for you.
Yeah,
it's
great.
A simple case of mistaken identity.
But it just goes right into the fact that we were joking earlier in the night about people think we're twins and we're the same person, and except for the whole MUKU thing, which is easy to get past in this town.
That's what you would do to try to throw other people off the scent. And that's frankly, right. I never saw the two of you together at any point last night. So
it's like send a text to let us know that you're in trouble. Mine would be Rock Chalk. Like, he's been kidnapped. Where is he? Is he going to be in a video getting beheaded? I don't know. Please find him now. We need to go on a search party to find this guy. That was great. And Garozzo's phenomenal food there last night. And Joe's and Nick and Jake's was there as well. I thought it was really interesting that Vinny Pasquantino, you know, he hits a home run earlier in the day. And then when Garozzo's finally had the food set out and then everybody went to the line to do that, he left his seat. And it was an exit velocity of 107.2 for Pasquantino to get to Garozzo's. The guy does not do anything under 100 miles an hour exit velocity. It is amazing that he just has that innate ability to always be that. Kind of like the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Callback. So.
I'm still confused about the why
you don't have to be just take everybody else's word for it.
That's fair.
Just take the word for it. All right, we'll take a timeout. We will get into the show. We will actually get into the show. Maybe, I don't know.
This has all been show.
That's
we're not going to get to talk about a 100-year celebration for 810 for another 100 years.
Yeah, that's right. Well, 99
WHB
years and
364 days. It actually was could go back a little bit, but so yeah. You know,
I'm really hoping I'll be there for that one.
99 and change.
Pumped,
yeah,
man.
I think I'm going to be really, really good at guest running by that point. I should get a lot more reps in over the next 100 years. So
that's right.
By the 200-year celebration, I'm gonna be a machine.
Yeah. Also, the radio host was the number two answer for the feud. Number one answer was professional athlete, which would have played perfectly to the audience.
Would have been
like
funny.
They didn't do that on purpose. Like that was just the poll that they put out. Number one was athlete. Number two was radio. Like that would have been great. It would have been absolutely perfect. But then it's like, oh, we're running behind, so let's cut you guys out of it. Oh, that's fine. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. I do want to talk about Vinny Pasquantino in a serious note of what he's been doing on the field. Bobby Witt, what he's been doing on the field in whatever position they're going to decide to put him at. And then this stretch since the trade deadline, it's a pretty decent, you know, marker. I know arbitrary cutoffs, we have those all the time. It's a little less arbitrary when you say this was sort of the official turning of the page of what this group was to when you trade Whit Merrifield. Come on. You know that you're moving on to the next generation of players. So since then, this Royals team being 6-3 and winning a couple of four-game sets against teams. So we'll take a timeout. I want to get into those things and the starters of what we've seen. And then, of course, Chiefs. What are we looking for tomorrow from the Chiefs and noon against the Chicago Bears?
Mom, if you're still listening, I want to apologize for not realizing that you didn't know the wedding date had been set already. Sorry that Mick Schaefer found out the wedding date before you did.
Yeah. Also, she's busy that night, too.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I am incapable of not being annoying. I tried it.
That's true.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we'll talk with Matt Derrick coming up at 11 o'clock. Chiefs Digest, get his thoughts on what he wants to see tomorrow with the Chiefs. I mean, we will eliminate the first thing anytime Josh and I and Matt and Briscoe, and Mick Schaefer and Beards weigh in on what we want to see tomorrow. We will eliminate the no injuries because that's going to be everybody's number one. Okay, we got it. We know that everybody's number one is no injuries. Cool, great, move on. What do we want to see tomorrow besides that? We'll talk with Matt Derrick about those things coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll also weigh in on those things as well. 913-912-4810 is the text line. Daniel Lynch going tonight. I'm excited to see what he can do again against the Dodgers in a pretty good lineup. And the Royals are going up against some phenomenal pitchers. And yesterday was the start of that with Dylan Cease and then Tony Gonsolin that's got a 2.3 ERA. He's only 13-1 on the season. You got Andrew Heaney, who's got a 0.64 ERA. And then you wrap it up with Tyler Anderson on Sunday, who's also 13-1, 2.72 ERA for the Dodgers. So pretty good for those guys, you know, if you're counting that, if you care about such things. So we'll see what the Royals can do. But since the trade deadline, so starting from August 3rd, and by the way, so you know it's not just a random arbitrary cutoff, they lost August 3rd, okay? So I could have started from August 4th if I wanted to make it even better, right? I mean, so I started from August 3rd in a game in which they lost. They're 6-3. So really, they're 6-2 in their last eight? But if we're looking at when they turn the page, this is a team that is 6-3 in their last nine games.
Small sample size.
Even bad teams can go 6-3 from time to time. Take a shot. There's a few things to take away from that. We have talked about the position players, the offense, what we're seeing, and obviously Vinny Pasquantino, who is mashing right now. In his last 12 games, he's OPS again 971 with three home runs and three doubles, which a 162 pace would be 40 home runs and 40 doubles. Now, mind you, I don't think he would keep this pace over a full season, but you never know. But he's OPSing almost at 1,000 in 12 games. Take a shot. Small sample size. So we've talked a lot about that. And we've discussed Brady Singer. And we've discussed Bubich when he went the other night. But what we haven't really talked about is through this 9-game set, the overall starting pitching staff. Because as Buster Olney said yesterday, look, the position players, it's fresh, it's new, they're wide-eyed and everything, and it's cool, and they're showing up to the park, and they're excited to play, and the enthusiasm is there, and you can feel the energy even coming through the TV set. It's cool, it's great, and they're talented, but they're going to have to pitch if this team is going to compete. Agreed. Absolutely. In the 9 games, take a shot, small sample size. The starters for this team have a combined 3.21 ERA, have averaged 6 innings, which makes a huge difference from early in the season when they were averaging four. Now you're talking about three innings that the bullpen has to...
I mean, four feels high, man. I was going to... Like, that. It's outrageous, but it just felt even worse
than that.
Every
once in a while, you had a Greinke go into the seventh.
Yes, yeah, a real horse, 97-year-old Zach Greinke. Which do I love?
A real horse to pitch seven innings,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, averaging six innings per start makes a difference.
Yeah.
Again, this team is 6-3 in that time. They've got a 4-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Just the starters... Not the bullpen, guys. Oh, by the way, shout out Scott Barlow, save number 18 yesterday. Three more. Here we go. Thank you, Mike Matheny.
There's a lot of games
also,
left. You're fine. You're
also,
gonna win this one.
Also, thank you, Nicky Lopez, for grounding out in the bottom of the eighth inning with a 5-2 lead and a runner at third and two outs. If he gets a hit, there goes Scott Barlow's save. Thank you, Nicky Lopez. Always been a huge fan. You are a beautiful, beautiful man and a hell of a model American, and I appreciate you for that. So this team's 3.21 ERA. If you looked at the entire season, now mind you, it's small samples.
I'm just gonna go ahead
and take that shot. Here we go. What do you got there? Is that
nothing? Just nothing. Keep
some tequila?
No, you're good.
What do you got over there, huh?
Don't worry about it.
Where would that rank over the course of the... If they had a 3.21 ERA as a staff, as a starting staff, just starters across Major League Baseball, where do you think that would rank? With all teams in Major League Baseball, there, mind you, there's 30, so Beards, don't guess 45. Where would that rank among all teams, 1 through 30, with a 3.21 ERA?
I'll go 30.
Very good. Good for you. Well done. Smart pick.
Thank you.
I'm going to say sixth.
You would be closer, Josh, than Beard. So well done. You are closer.
Did I overshoot it? I hate guessing that it's better than it actually is. I don't want to undercut your stat, but that feels pretty good to me.
Third.
Okay, all right. So I didn't undercut it.
You're an idiot.
You're still close. I'm still a moron.
The Dodgers this season with their absurd 2.72 starting staff combined ERA.
God.
The Houston Astros, with their combined starting staff, 3.16 ERA. And then, in this stretch, what the Royals have done, to put it, just putting it into perspective of what they've done with their starters is equivalent to what we've seen some of the best teams do over the course of the entire season. That's what they're getting consistently through 90, 100 games, obviously. But that's where another added layer of the encouragement comes in, because it's two starts from Singer, it's two starts from Bubich, it's two starts from Greinke, and it's Keller, Lynch, and Heasley, one start apiece. That's seven of the nine games with guys that you think could be in the rotation in the future.
Yeah.
So you take Greinke out, which I don't think Greinke's going to be pitching for this team if they're winning a division.
Mm-hmm.
The other five guys, Singer, Bubich, Keller, Lynch, Heasley, and Heasley came up for the doubleheader.
Right.
Those are the guys that are out there in seven of the nine pitching in those games. Daniel Lynch tonight, we'll see, what he looks like and if he can keep that going. Brad Keller tomorrow. Brady Singer on Sunday. Pumped for that because we're going out to the game on Sunday. So looking forward to watching Brady Singer and Tyler Anderson going on Sunday. We can talk about the position players. And that's encouraging to see what they're doing. And Pasquantino, another home run yesterday. But it's the staff, the starting staff, that we're seeing as to why this team is really 6-3 since the trade deadline. 6-2 in their last eight games is because their team ERA right now would put them as the third best in the team of what they've done over nine games.
And look, is it a large sample size? No. But you have to see progress from somewhere at some point. And if you say, hey, this looks like the beginning of progress, look, the Royals have been on a steady decline of one sort or the other since winning the World Series.
Yeah.
And it has been an exponential drop as of late. We're not saying that they're back at World Series contention levels, but it seems like that line, both in the lineup and for the pitching staff, that graph is now trending back up in the right direction. That is actually important. That progress does actually matter. Even when you end up in a spot where you are extrapolating from a pretty small range of games. I didn't say the phrase that
time. Good for
you.
Thank you.
Even whenever you're extrapolating from that, it's got to start from somewhere. So I think the out getting ahead of your skis thing would be to say, hey, this has been what these last 8 games have looked like, so therefore this will be the next 10 years. Well, no, we don't know that. But you can say, hey, this is what these last 8 games have looked like. Let's see if they can continue with this. Because that is the thing about baseball, is that this season goes on forever. There are a billion games, and the sample size is infinite. So whenever you get to the end of a season, you have a pretty good idea of what these teams were. You can even cut them into, you know, quarters or halves, however you want to evaluate your season, depending on your lineup changing and everything. The second half of this Royals season is going to matter way more than the first half did for the next 5 and 10 years.
Yep.
But right now, you can say, hey, progress. Moving in the right direction. This looks promising. And I don't think that's getting ahead of yourself at all. I think you can say that confidently, and then you have to wait for the consistency. That ends up being the thing that separates, and this is across all sports, honestly, but the thing that separates good players from great players isn't if you can have an incredible moment. Tony Moiaki has one of the most memorable catches of all time. I can't even remember if he got his second foot in bounds, but I remember what that catch looked like. But he couldn't do that. We had to mention his name in here eventually, right? It's the consistency that determines your actual greatness. Because if you can do that every single week or every single outing or whatever, you become a great one. Anybody playing professional sports is excellent and can have a highlight and can have a low light. But the consistency is what matters.
Yeah. And by the way, that's against the White Sox and the Red Sox. And I know that, you know, the Red Sox are 3 games under 500. The White Sox are right at 500. But by the way, they were a couple games over 500 when the Royals started. So they took 3 of 4 from them. That's why they're now back to 500, are the White Sox. So again, this is a team that took 3 of 4 from the Red Sox and 3 of 4 from the White Sox as well. That's something early in the season that would not have happened. So it's not like the starting staff is going up against just, you know, random schlubs lineups. One of the things that I do wonder moving forward is, what is the future for Bobby Witt, and what position is the future for Bobby Witt? Because when Mondesi went down or walked off with his torn ACL, the next 60 games, Bobby Witt played shortstop. The last 8 games, 5 of those games have been at third base. What is it about trading Emmanuel Rivera that all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we can move Bobby Witt to third because Rivera has been traded. Whew, thank goodness.
You know, finally, blocking him.
Rivera is blocking Bobby Witt. You know, we were putting Nicky Lopez at third, even with Rivera on the team and Bobby Witt at short. But now that Rivera has been traded, well, let's put Bobby Witt at third and Nicky Lopez at shortstop moving forward. I don't understand it. And I would like them to just simply, you know, put him at shortstop and call it a day, Beards.
You're lucky he even performed for you. Leave Bobby alone. Please. Leave
Bobby
alone. Please. Leave
Bobby Witt
alone right now. I mean it. Anyone who has a problem with him, you deal with me.
Your voice sounds so different today, man.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would like them to do. Just put him in short, call it a day, man. Like this season, to me, is not... I get it. They're trying to win games. Mike Matheny's going to try to win every game. Understandable, whatever. But it's also about what they have moving forward. And either which your shortstop or he's your third baseman. Pick one and call it a day. I'd rather you pick shortstop because the fact that they're putting him at third base scares me into thinking they are still planning on Mondesi being starting shortstop next year. The fact that they are even doing that, putting him at, what's the point of putting him at third base? If you're saying, well, Nicky Lopez is at shortstop and Bobby Witt's at third base, well, guess what? If both of their bats are in the lineup, it doesn't matter what position they play. And I know you go, well, Nicky Lopez is a third baseman. That's absurd. His bat doesn't play. Well, Nicky Lopez is a shortstop and Bobby Witt is a third baseman. It's the same bats in the lineup. It's just a matter of where's Bobby Witt playing?
Yeah.
Is he your shortstop or not? Pick one. I'd rather you pick shortstop. But the fact that they move him to third, five of the last eight games, he's been at third base. Then maybe they're saying, well, you know, he's struggling to play defense at shortstop. Oh, cool, then just move him off.
I'm pretty sure
Melendez is still playing catcher.
Yeah.
I mean,
here's the thing. It would be really, really, really weird for them to just be like, yep, we're calling it. Bobby Witt, third baseman. Sorry. Like, man, that's pretty freaking quick for a 14-year-old that just got to the majors.
Look, we should have punted on Alex Gordon as a third baseman way earlier than we did. Right. We're not going to make the same mistake with Bobby Witt.
Right. Left field, Bobby.
Shortstop.
Get to left.
Yep.
But alternatively, and like, I understand that the Royals love versatility. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, this is a place where I think where the Royals, as over the last few years, have changed my perspective a little bit in terms of that in particular. I see the value in having five guys who can play eight total positions. There mm-hmm. is something to that. I get it. It makes you more flexible. But he's not that guy, right?
Typically, your shortstop isn't a guy that moves around the diamond.
Typically, your young star shortstop, cornerstone of the franchise, mm-hmm. just kind of stays there. And if the Royals still want him to be their shortstop of the future, I would think that you just want to let him get as many ground balls and a major league diamond as possible. Man, we're just you're just taking BP. You're just fielding BP for the rest of this season at shortstop. You make an error, no big deal. Get the fundamentals down. Get used to seeing the ball from that mm-hmm. spot at the major league level. It seems like tinkering just for the sake of tinkering. And it's a little confusing. I'm not like furious, but I'm a little worried and a little confused.
Yeah, my concern is that they plan on Mondesi being the shortstop moving forward, and Lopez being sort of a utility guy. And so if Mondesi is going to be back and playing shortstop, let's go ahead and get Bobby Witt over there at third, which is where he started this year. But again, Mondesi went down the next 60 games. He was shortstop. Last eight, he's played five of those at third base. We'll take a timeout. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
So check your bags. Make sure you've declared your sausage. That's my lesson of the week.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, before we talk some Chiefs in the next segment, let's get to a few texts that have come in. A number of texts, sort of the same theme about Bobby Witt, the hamstring. Maybe that's why they moved him to third to protect that. I would accept that being part of the strategy, except he's had a couple of stolen bases in the last few games. He scored from first on the Salvi double, and he beat the throw on an infield single in which he topped 30 feet per second down to first base. If they were wanting to protect the hamstring, they would say, hey, Bobby, come on. You don't need to be stealing bases. Chill. You know, I feel like the hamstring is healthy. Even the guys on the broadcast talked about that. Another text says, Lopez was the only guy taking pitches in May and June. Now there's a lineup full of guys using Zumwalt's approach. It's absolutely true. Love to see it.